This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
What's your take thus far on the appeal or the request for a new trial because of the jury tampering and where that is all sitting? We haven't really heard a whole lot from Rebecca Hill other than that she denies the charges against her. But what kind of investigation needs to be done to come to a conclusion that either this did happen or this didn't happen and the effect that it actually had on the verdict?
I mean, man, like since we last spoke, yeah, there has not been a lot coming from Becky Hill's camp at all, as mm-hmm. you said.
Yeah.
Has been quite the Twitter war going
on. Sure.
And there's been some interesting things, you know, we've got like, there's so many players down there and it's such an incestuous area in terms of everyone knows each other, everyone practices with one another down there, you know, so you've got that situation where, you know, people are like, oh, well, put, you know, his buddy Joe onto two of these jurors and he's representing two of the jurors. And then you get Eric Bland, who obviously was on the opposite side of the fence on mm-hmm. this case, you know, like declaring that he'll represent jurors for free mm-hmm. if they need representation. So you've got that whole dynamic going on. And, you know, it's such a mess. It really is. And at this point, you know, people are bickering about whether or not what she said, if it amounts enough to mm-hmm. tampering. And my position on it is if she said one word about anything relating to the trial, about anything relating to him testifying, about believing or not believe, it's jury tampering.
Yeah.
Period. It's like it's that simple. It's like you cannot have an elected official who those people in the jury were looking up to as basically their boss. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, she was saying what they can and can't do. Well, yeah, you can go have a smoke now. Yeah, we're going to eat lunch now. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's yeah. like they looked at her in a different light than anyone else in that courthouse.
Sure.
Because they're conduit and they don't know. Like jurors just don't know.
Yeah.
Like what is going on? If it's the first time you sat in a jury, it is a brand new experience for you. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you've never done anything like it. And if you never serve again, you'll never do anything like that again, because it's an incredibly unusual, you know, like it's just, there's nothing like jury service. It's like, I know people are like, oh, I got summoned for jury service. I don't want to do it. It should be the opposite. Anybody who gets the opportunity to serve on a jury should do it. Number one, because it's a civic duty. And number two, because it's fascinating.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what case it is. You get sucked into the minutiae of any case that you're sitting on and you're the arbiter. You're the one deciding the fate, mm-hmm. whether it's for money, whether it's for freedom, whatever the case may be. I mean, who doesn't want to be a decision maker, you know, mm-hmm. but like when it comes to freedom and or a death penalty case, or in this case, life in prison, it's a heavy burden, but still, you know, and people take it seriously. So when she's coming in there, they don't know yeah. whether or not she's allowed to talk to them, you know, because like the pushback that I was seeing is like, okay, well, and I think that we talked about it in our last episode, you know, Newman asked every day.
Yeah.
Thing in the end, did you talk to anybody about the case? Anybody talk to you about the case? And they were always saying no, you know. And then we've got Egg Lady, who basically flat out was asked, did the clerk of the court talk to you about the case? And she said under oath, no. Mm-hmm. And now in her affidavit, she's saying yes. So you've got this contradictory statement,
yeah.
you know. So the pushback on, you know, the pro Becky Hill, like she didn't tamper with anything. We hate Murdoch and we don't care if like she talked yeah. to the jury. It's got a stick. You know, I mean, the bottom line, this guy's never walking out of prison.
Sure.
Like people just like I just don't want people not to lose sight of the fact that he's not walking out.
No, he's like, not. And even though he's a despicable human being, he still deserves a fair trial. And if he didn't get that, then that needs to be corrected.
Yes. The Constitution trumps all. I'm sorry. Yep. Unless we want a country that doesn't have a constitution and we're all just running around like chickens with our heads cut off, you know, in a complete free-for-all, then we have to abide by the rules, period. Sure. Doesn't matter how much of a garbage human being he is, mm-hmm. the Constitution trumps all. It's that simple. Like, you know, like I detest Murdoch. I, like yeah. from attorney and looking at this guy who was stealing millions of dollars of his clients' funds, who desperately needed that money.
Yeah.
I can't, like, aside, like, putting aside the murders, which are beyond disgusting, but the, just from the stealing millions of dollars from people that their entire lives were depending on that money, mm-hmm. and he could care less.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's awful.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a terrible person. Notwithstanding that, the guy still has constitutional rights. And more importantly, what we're doing here is not protecting Murdoch per se. We're protecting the Constitution. That's the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Like, look, you've got to look at the entire forest, not the tree. Mm-hmm. Murdoch is the tree. Yeah. We have to protect the forest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if it comes out and we're going to hear it, I'm convinced that there's no way that Newman's not going to grant an evidentiary hearing. And we're going to hear all of it.
Yeah.
And if comes out that she was improperly discussing the case with the jurors, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's a no-brainer. To me, the more interesting question, Newman going to have to be a witness.
Yeah, and where will this trial be as well? Is it going to take place there if it were to happen, or are they going to have to move this out of the area just because of all the hoopla that's gone on with this to begin with?
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I've had this discussion. I don't know if we talked about it last time, but I've had it multiple times. I just don't know where they're impaneling a jury that's not going to have heard tons about this case. It's like, you know, and the question and the way that a judge cures that, like when I'm trying to pick a jury and I've had some high profile cases and I've had cases where my guy was tried in the press and I knew because we actually hired a polling company to poll the citizens of that county leading up to trial. Had you heard of the case? Like, and we had the polling company come up with five questions, you know, like, had you heard of the case? Yes. Okay. Did you reach a conclusion on innocence or guilt? Yes. What was your conclusion? Guilty or innocent?
Yeah.
You know, guilt. You know, and it came back like over 90% had heard of the case. Over 90% had reached a conclusion. Over 90% found he was guilty, like in their own minds, based on just reading the newspaper articles, which is not evidence.
Sure.
You know, but like that challenge of a case that like Murdoch were it dwarfed Garcia in terms of press, you know, but like in that area, Garcia was like, everyone knew about the case. This is like everybody in the world knows about this case,
yeah.
You know, so
it's yeah.
Concept of a judge being able to say when I'm picking a jury, okay, you've heard of the case, you formed an opinion. Here's what the ultimate question is. Despite the fact that you formed an opinion, are you going to be able to follow the law and put opinion aside? And if those jurors say yes, the judge considers them cured, which you and I both know is insane.
Yeah.
Like it's not curing anything, even subconsciously. If you've like, if you're on the fence about something, but in the back of your mind, you've always thought the guy was guilty, you're going to vote guilty because that's consciously what you're thinking, even if you're trying to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a mess, man. It's going to be. Those cases though, man, it's one of the big cases of my life in terms of just being fascinating because there's so on with it, you know, but I felt the same way about Vallow, like it, like just like the intricacies of it were so mind blowing to me.
Sure.
In terms of kind of like the legal maneuvering that went on in that case, you know, from like a law nerd perspective, that was just a fascinating case. And then you inject the fact that like in Idaho, they didn't have the insanity defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't even an option for them, where you've got this woman that clearly, I think, believed that the end of days is coming and that she's all good.
Sure.
She's one of the chosen ones, you know, so she's going to survive it. So she didn't really care what was going on at the trial because she still thinks that the world's coming to an end in March of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks like I'm walking out of here because everyone's going to be dead.
Yeah.
Aside from, you know, so it's like that whole side of that thing was just like, man, I was twisted knots on that thing mentally. Yeah.
There's so many twisted stories out there right now.
Never ending.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.